Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 271 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. My name is Brad O'Dell, and I have an extremely exciting... I always say that. I say it's an exciting show, but this really is actually an exciting show. This is actually one of the shows that I've been nervous for the first time in a very, very long time, because I've got the one, the only Ollie Lang joining us this week to talk about his ridiculous, crazy career in paintball. As well as maybe we'll touch a little bit too on like why you have a an insanely peaceful looking background and you look very comfortable. So maybe we'll get into that as well. If that's that's okay with you.
Perfect. Perfect.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So So for those who are watching who don't know who you are, I don't think any of them don't know who you are. Let's be honest here. But you are basically, as far as anyone's considered, you're the GOAT, man. You're the greatest of all time. You're the guy. You're Wayne Gretzky of paintball. Normally I have a guest talk about themselves, like to explain who they are, and I feel like it would just be a little redundant. So
you can always have my point of view of what I think I am.
Yeah. You know what I was? Yeah. Let's talk. I want to see like what your point of view is like when everyone goes nuts about you showing up anywhere. But also I want to talk about, you know, what's going on right now, where you are, what you're doing, these days. And then we'll sort of dive into the past. Okay. Yeah.
Well, so where I am right now is I'm in Bali, Indonesia, which is a small island in the many of thousands of the archipelago on the island of the country of Indonesia. And this one's quite unique. It's shaped as a liver. And it's this interesting place where people come to they come to kind of understand themselves. You know, there's the cliche movie, The Eat, Pray, Love was filmed here. And it's a real story and it's a real thing. And a lot of people flock here to kind of live that out. And the Balinese are a unique, very, very unique group of individuals. And they've been kind of holding this incredible field of this land for thousands of years. And us Western people, they call us bules, which kind of just means foreigner. We just kind of slip into this and it feels really good to be here. And we're nourished and we're taken care of. It's pretty inexpensive compared to the rest of the world. Eat lots of really nice food and fruits. And life is good, man. It's like a perfect place for me because it's wild, reckless adventure that doesn't make any sense. Like I don't have a driver's license, but I drive. It's like I'm not allowed to be here, but I'm here. You know, it's like these like things that you're not, it doesn't make sense, but you make it happen. Like, for instance, there's no two sides of the road. Anybody can drive in anywhere of the road, but it works.
Okay. That sounds like if you're brought up in it, it's fine. But you know, for a foreigner is, it's exciting, I guess.
It's even better for foreigners. It's even better for foreigners because we get to break our little minds of the way that we think that it should be.
Ah.
So in Canada, you know, you drive on this side of the road, I drive on this side of the road. When you're on my side of the road, I have the ability to curse you out and to tell you how stupid you are, right? But here, when they're driving on my side of the road, technically my side of the road, they look at you and you smile and you laugh and you're like, ha ha, there's no side of the road.
This is hilarious. We're just making it work.
And exactly. And that's right. We're making it work. And that's the beauty of it. So it's really good for Western people to come here and kind of, just incinerate their construct of the way they think that things should be.
Okay. I'm digging it. I'm thinking I might have to plan a vacation.
Yeah. It's one of the most visited places in the world. I think it's like the number one destination to come visit. So.
Sweet. Okay. I'm going to have to look into it. So let's talk. I want to know what you, like you said, I want to know what you think of what people think of you, if that makes sense. You know, like, you know, they say you're the greatest of all time. If we look back at your history, there's kind of, evidence to that. So, but like, how do you think about yourself as like the top paintballer?
Well, I definitely think that I have a lot of yeah, accomplishment within the sport of the game paintball. So there's some accolades there, and there's definitely lots of time spent doing it, and lots of blood, sweat, and tears, as people would say. So I feel that there's definitely some sort of honorific title there. It's quite flattering to be called the GOAT, but maybe that's because I was the first one to retire out of that sort of time frame. So we'll see. Maybe there's another GOAT that comes through. But yeah, I mean, I'm just a kid, man. I'm just a kid. I'm just like everybody else. And I fell in love with the game of paintball just like everybody else. I've always thought outside of the box. And I feel like paintball players think outside of the box. You know, we didn't conform to the standard type of game that everybody wanted us to play. And we really said, no, mom, dad, I'm going to play this game that you don't understand and that doesn't make sense to you and that nobody understands except for the people who play it. And that's why I love paintball players in general. I think the majority of paintball people are free thinkers. And I only like to associate with free thinking people. And so my whole journey has been, yeah, it's pretty standard. You know, I was just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And this sport catapulted me into the next session of my life, which is kind of what I'm doing now. And where I'm living and how I live and how I think. And you know, I reached a great apex of success within the sport. And, you know, to be honest, it was exactly what needed to happen to teach me a little bit more about who I am.
Okay. So I guess we're going to jump right into it. I got some comments here, some folks coming in with some questions. I really like what you said about, paintballers being free thinkers and playing this sport that nobody else understands. Cause it's true when people find out that I paintball and they go, oh, well, what, why? I'm like, oh, you just don't get it. Like, I can't explain it to you. You got to experience it. Or if I do try to explain it, I look like a raving madman, you know, when you're talking about everything. So Mike Merlot, who's a longtime watcher of the show, has got a question. He wants to know if there are any questions from fans or the players that people don't normally ask you, but you wish they did ask. Which I think is a really great question.
Yeah, that is a great question, Mike. I think in general in life, you know, like I'm not into surface layer conversation. I'm not really into surface layer anything. I'm into depth and. You know, like anybody can ask me simple paintball questions or we can talk about, how it felt to win this tournament but maybe these deeper questions like, hey, how did it feel to lose your friends when you retired from the Iron or from Dynasty to go to the Ironman? You know, these type of questions are like, they're much more educational. They're much more meaningful. They're much more potent. So like in general, I always go towards deeper meaning questions, not surface layer questions. Yeah. And if you ever want to meet any chicks out there in the world, that's a great, art is to not ask these surface layer questions. Who are you? Where you're from? Blah, 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 blah. What do you do? Yeah. You know, that's the standardization of conversation. You know, let's go into the heart of it and let's get deep and let me get to know you without even knowing your name. You know?
Yeah. I was told, don't ask somebody what you do for a living. Ask, what do you do for fun? And you'll get a much better conversation, a much more connection, right? Ask them about their personal side.
Well, this is like for you, this is a big part of the way that you're understanding yourself is by asking the correct questions. And, if you're going to be a good podcaster, you're going to have to ask the best questions and get the most out of us. Like, look at Joe Rogan and all these other guys. You know, they're bold, you know, he'll ask whatever it is, you know, he'll go into the heart of the topic and get some great answers, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they're masters at it. I'm still learning. I'll get there eventually. One of these days with enough practice. I will get there. So the questions are still coming in with Kevin Curry wants to know, and we'll start with this one. I think we'll go back to Kevin. Kevin's got four questions here, so we'll come back to some of his, but his first one, and I think it'd be a really great way to start everything is off the top of your head, what's your favorite paintball moment? And I'm sure you've got plenty to sift through.
It's such a kind of obscure question because it's like moment in actual time, like where time froze, and you know, that was a moment that was ingrained into my psyche for the rest of my life? Or was it like a moment in time where we were winning all the tournaments, and you know, it's kind of, you know, it needs to be a little bit more precise. But I think I'm going to answer this by saying my favorite paintball moment was probably one of the first times I ever played, and we had snuck around the back of the bush, and there was this guy laying there, and I had a little pump tracer gun, and I just shot the hell out of him, and and then he didn't know where it came from, and I saw the ball come out of my barrel and hit him and explode, and I think that was like the moment in time where I was hooked.
You know? Something just rewired in the brain, or something unlocked in the brain at that moment, eh? And you were like, this is what I got to do.
That's right. It felt very invigorating, you know.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I know what you mean. Yeah, that, and it's kind of that you look back and everything's in slow motion. At least that's how it works for me. Anyway.
That's right.
Right.
And it encapsulated. That moment was encapsulated in my lifetime, and I can speak about it now, you know? So it's like, How many times have I shot somebody in my life playing the game of paintball? Thousands, millions, I don't know. But that one, for some reason, stands out to me. So in a moment in time, that would be it. Now, if you want to go into like moment in career, which means like, you know, when kind of like in the movies, whenever there's that sequence of all the really good shots and all the music's playing and you really feel like you're in that moment.
You got the positive vibe montage. Different. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that would be a different moment that I could choose, which would probably be like when I returned to Dynasty and after playing on the Ironman, and we just won everything and nobody was any good and we were just way better than everybody. And it was like head and shoulders difference. And I literally think we just won like tournament after tournament after tournament, and there was like no competition. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's definitely for, there was a point in time where it was just a tournament rolled up and it's like, who do you think is going to win? It's going to be Dynasty. Like it was, There was no question. We knew Dynasty was going to take it. I want to talk about, you started paintballing at pretty much like the standard age, right? Like you started at what, 14, 15? I think is
14. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always like to ask people like what were the circumstances? So like my first game was like a buddy's birthday party that I was just like, I got nothing better to do this Saturday. I'll go try this paintball thing. Like what was the circumstances that got you on the field for the first time?
I think there was a few, and I think just like anything you do in life, like especially at that time, you do it, you feel a call, you feel pulled to do it. There's like a little unconscious, something's there. And I think I played paintball maybe once or twice for birthday party, kind of similar thing. But the hook was when Alex and I played together. That was like the moment in time where it was like, okay, this is going to be something. And then Alex had a really good relationship with his dad, and it was kind of their thing. So I was able to slip into that kind of fatherly son weekend outing. And his dad really took care of me and nourished me. So that was like the beautiful kind of like, I became kind of a brother, kind of his dad was kind of my uncle, you know? So that was that like fortifying moment in, okay, we're doing this.
Okay. That's a really like wholesome memory that you've got there. That's really nice.
Probably a lot of people are like that in a sense, if everybody dives deep into their memory bank of, you know, why are we doing this? It's, you know, we show up to the field, there's camaraderie, there's the field owner, there's the other peers that are about your same age. And there's something like kind of tribal almost about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got friends that, you know, I look forward to seeing at paintball games because that's the only time I see them. You know, I wish I could see them more, but they're like 6 hours away. So you started playing at about 14, and it just kind of went from there. Now, you got named Player of the Year at 22. Like that's only, what is that, 8 years?
No, I think I was 17.
Oh, 17. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's a three year window. So I want to know how, like, what do you think did it for you? Why do you think you excelled so well at this sport? Like, what was it something like? Did you have a different mental state than you think than most people? Was it a physical thing? Like, you know?
It's a great question. Multiple facets to that success in a sense, but I think probably the main one that I can attest it to is being just like in that being nurtured, you know, having the support around me that actually I can do this, which gave me the confidence to realize that I can do this. And that means having healthy peers, having people around you who are rooting for you, who are supporting you, and even my mom and other people behind the scenes. And then all of a sudden you just wake up and you do it, you know? So there's a lot of magic in the community.
Absolutely. Magic's a great word for it. I think that's great. I think I tried to explain the feeling of the community and when things go well, and magic is the right way to do it. Yeah. I really like the way you put that. Awesome. So it was just, you just think it was just the having a strong base, having strong support really helped you excel is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like any kid, probably yourself, anybody who's gotten into the sport and has tasted and felt it, there's definitely something tangible there. We don't know what it is. Even still to this day, I don't know what it is. Probably most people couldn't explain it. It's a force, and it's empowering, and it makes you feel empowered. And so when you start to get into that kind of algorithm or that vibration, you know, it's like, what's not possible? You know, everything is possible. So let's do it. And so for me, my possibility was, okay, I'm going to go pro and I'm going to just be the best at this. I'm going to be the best I can be at this. I don't know what that means,
but you're going to do it. That's, you're going to be the best.
I'm going to do it. And then, you know, 3 years later you get some sort of, some sort of merit that says you're the best. And they take a picture of you and you put it in the magazine. You don't even really think about that, to be honest. You just do it. And then you wake up and then that's a byproduct of it. So,
okay.
But I do think in this day and age, especially kind of with the more, again, it's a little bit different train of thought these days, but you know, I think it's important to set that precedence and to say, I'm going to be the best at this and I'm going to do it. I don't know if I did it then. I think I did, but I can't really remember because I was quite young. But I think if anybody who's listening to this, if you want to do that, this is a possibility. And if you claim it, then you can have it. It just takes some effort.
Yeah. You just decide to do it. No excuses. Just make it happen.
It's just excuses isn't even in the vocabulary either, you know.
Right, that, yeah.
That's a new thing to say. Oh, no excuses. It's like, no, I didn't even think of an excuse. I didn't even think of not showing up to the paintball field every weekend to play. Nice. That wasn't even in the reality. The reality is you're doing this. You know, that's the reality.
I like that. That's a mentality I think that's missing from a lot of folks. I think that's a great way to think about it. Just like I said, excuses aren't in the vocabulary. I love that. I'm going to get that on a t-shirt or something. I'll pay a licensing fee.
It's all good, bro. What's mine is yours. Again, you have that nurturing in that community sense, which is the essential kind of secret ingredient. Like I said, the magic in it. So if you want to have that, you can have that, but you do have to be somewhat brought up and does have to be some sort of a nurturing environment for it to occur. And I think that's where the devastation is a lot in the game now and in life. You know, if you want to be, I'm not into being a professional paintball player anymore. Obviously I'm into being an exceptionally great human being. And so I need to put myself in the same sort of nurturing environment where that is allowed and that I'm able to do that. And so it's like the Petri dish of life, you know, where do you live? Who surrounds you? Who's around you? Are they really your friends? Or are they holding you back? You know, and is the community, is the people, the owners of the field supporting you? Do they want what's best for you? You know, are they giving you free paint, the leftover paint that, you know, comes back in the loaders that they didn't sell? Are they giving you that so that you can play? You know, it's like all these tiny nuances that are in the field. And when I say field, I don't mean the paintball field. I mean in the field of your paintball growth that right. need to be supportive. And that's beyond being a paintball player also. That goes into your holistic lifestyle, you know? You need to be in a place of support. You don't want to live in a toxic environment. A toxic environment doesn't breed a successful anything. It breeds disease and disaster and devastation, right? So again, we're all part of it. So we need to be breeding a very nourishing place where people can grow and become excellent or exceptional at the sport of paintball. But you need great fields. You need people like DEFCON. You need the owners of, like, these types of individuals who are cultivating a place where players can come and grow and learn. And then you need community. You need podcasts. You need all these types of pieces to the puzzle to support people. Like you said, you've got fans that are listening to this now. They're the reason why you showed up on time today, right? Yeah. So you need each other. It's a very vital component to this whole a birth of whatever it is you want to birth within it. If you want to be the best, great. Or if you want to be the best player at the field, or if you want to be the best paintball team at the field, whatever it might be, you know, that's up to you. But you need the support and the nourishment of the community.
That's, man, that's like the deepest answer anyone has ever given on this show. And I appreciate that so much. That's awesome. Kevin just popped in the comments real quick. Do you reflect on the fact that an entire generation of paintball players idolizes you? Cause that must come with some weight. Like, does that ever cross your mind? Do you ever just sort of like randomly think, or did you in the past sort of stop and go, a lot of people know my name? And it's, you know, was like, did it create any feelings of any kind, or was it something that you never really thought of?
Yeah, again, good question. I mean,
yeah, I'm going to get Kevin to read all my questions.
I don't really associate with the need for acknowledgement and fame. You know, like, again, man, I did something. I don't even know how I did it. I did it and it happened. And then the byproduct was a generation of individuals who know my name. So I love that. I mean, it's amazing, because I think that I'm a quite wholesome individual. And so beyond the paintball identity, more so, if you can kind of see the way that I live, the way that I think, the way that I appreciate life, the way that I value love and friends and nature, that's amazing. So if you can learn from me from being a paintball individual, and then now you can, that can spill over into your day-to-day life, then to me, that's great. That's great importance and job well done. You know, so I feel like I've got a generation of these individuals who are like dear brothers in this real battle that we're in, which is life. And, you know, hopefully we can see what comes from that in a bigger picture beyond the paintball realm, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so it sounds like paintball is just part or one of the ways that you connected with these people. It's not a matter of, you know, the fact that they idolize you or anything. It's just paintball is what brings you together. Therefore it's a good thing, but it's not the only thing.
Well, paintball is an incredible game and art form. It's a martial art in a sense. Yeah. And, I like the people who can recognize that. And I like the people who can, just like in martial arts, you know, it's not about being able to beat somebody up per se. It's about having that intelligence to never even need to get into that altercation. So if you have the awareness of the game of paintball and you can utilize that in your life, that's an amazing, amazing gold, right? And so that's what I'm more interested in doing. Paintball is the hook and the line and the sinker in the sense of how we got to meet each other and why I'm here now having this conversation with you. So it's essential. But there's deeper points that I'm trying to get across within this conversation, not only to you towards, but people that are listening.
Sure.
And we have a bigger thing that's at hand that's beyond the game of paintball, but we're all connected through this amazing game of paintball. And if we can use what we learn within the game of paintball to go into this real battlefield of life and use these great theories and this great, everything that's a part of it, all the teamwork, all the strategy, all the preparation, if you can use that into your day-to-day life, man, you're going to win the World Cup every day.
That's a really good way of thinking about it. Cause just while you were chatting, it sort of just came through my mind of like, yeah, in a game of paintball, let's just say just a regular day of walk on paintball, right? You don't know anybody cause whatever, you're visiting the town. But as soon as that whistle goes, you know, they're your teammates. Suddenly there's a trust, you know, you're willing to put your neck out on the line to maybe help them move up, which, you know, it could be moving up in a world of paintball, or maybe you're willing to help out somebody just so they can move up in life.
That's right. So what's more, let's just ask you real quick, what's more valuable there? Helping you move up to a bunker in the walk-on weekend scenario, or is it helping you move up in a, you know, a stage of life or a level of consciousness in life, or maybe even it's a financial level of life, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense. Like, cause I've got buddies that I met playing paintball and they are some of the best friends I've ever had. And we've helped each other. I've driven hours, just to go eat at a restaurant that one of them worked at. Like, you know, that was, you know, but it all because of paintball was really the foundation, but it built into more than that. It built into more of a relationship than just, oh, I play paintball with this guy. It was like, no, this is my buddy. This is, this is my friend. This is a strong connection with this person. So that's cool, man. I'm digging the way that you're bringing, like, you know, everyone in this chat right now is brought together by paintball. They all wanted to, you know, they all play it. They want to hear you talk about it. Most of them don't know each other, but it doesn't matter. They've all come together because of paintball. And, you know, maybe some folks here in the comments will find some new friendships, which would be really cool. Which, if that happens, let me know. That would be amazing. Who was your idol? Like, when you were playing paintball, when you were knee-high to a duck and playing paintball, who was it that you looked up to?
Yeah, I think this is a great question also, and it's really important for anybody who's playing and listening that you do have people that you look up to, and if you're someone that people look up to, that you hold that, you know, that's a huge accolade. I looked up to a lot of people. Mostly there were people at the field in the beginning. There was a guy named Brad Mon. He ended up playing on Dynasty, and he always just kind of took me under his shoulder. You know, he showed me how to, like, build bunkers on the field. And he was also the one that kind of, like, he was somebody who was refereeing at the field, which I think is also a very important kind of, like, process. If you want to become really good at this game, you got to be at the field on the regular weekend working there, kind of taking the lessons as they come. But a lot of people are just unconscious. They don't really know what they're doing there. They're just kind of doing the job. And that goes for most jobs. Yep. But Brad would, like, you know, he would curate the field for him when he wasn't playing. You know, he would build this bunker. He would look at the game and say, okay, you can't get through there, and that guy is holding you up there. So I'm going to build this bunker here, and I'm going to make this crawl lane. And then he would go do it. And then I would watch him, and then I would go do it. You know, so he was somebody who taught me a lot of lessons, and he didn't even know he was teaching me lessons.
No, just by
somebody who I really, yeah.
Wow.
So he was just somebody at the field, and he ended up being a pro player. But then, like, I guess if you want to know a little bit more about, like, who were the pro players that I ended up, like, kind of idolizing. Well, there was a lot, but I really enjoyed watching Lasoya play. You know, Lasoya was a great,
yep,
iconic image. He was brutal, you know, and he was in your face, and he was exactly who you didn't want to play against. You know, I don't know if I ever got to that level, but he definitely inspired me to play very aggressive and to go forward in a blaze of glory, even if it was not the right move. You know, And yeah. So I tip my hat to the way he's played always. And also just the way he was. I mean, he was kind of a little bit of a dick, and he wasn't the greatest mentor at that age, but also you can learn a lot from that, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, you could learn plenty from just about anybody. Even if it's learning what not to do, you know, you're still learning. So,
That's right. That's a good point. And that's what I mean by Lasoya. I learned a lot of what not to do when he did certain things. You know?
Yeah. That's great. I was curious. That was one of the questions I was going to ask, was like where you got your play style from, because, you know, basically all the articles that were ever written, about you always mention, you had a very aggressive play style, when the fields were a bit bigger, and, mm-hmm. I wanted to find out where that came from. So that's great.
Well, actually it comes from not so much, to be honest, Lasoya at that point. You know, we used to play at this place called Mare Island, and it was kind of like it was the place to be. It's kind of like the DEF CON, you know, it's like, that's where everybody showed up, and that's where the cultivation happened. And Mare Island was very inspirational to the way we played, and everybody played aggressive there. There was no such thing as playing any other way. So it wasn't also just one individual. It was like the place, you know, that was what the place harbored, was aggressive style of paintball. And the owner, who's now the owner of Field One, Eric Crandall, you know, he was never any good at the game, but he was really aggressive. And he always just told us, you know, like, what are you doing? Get up there. And we didn't know anything, so we just did that. And then we were like, oh, this works. Once you get pretty good at it, you're like, this works. Okay. And I will say, you know, Alex Frazee, he was always the person who pushed me to play more aggressive, because he played aggressive. And so, you know, we always kind of needed to outplay each other. In a way, we're playing on the same team, but we're kind of paralleling each other to be better than each other, you know? So you need, again, that's like a crucial element to this. If anybody's listening that wants to achieve high levels of success, again, whether it's in the sport of paintball or something else, you need to have that kind of antagonist, protagonist, brother dynamic with somebody, or sister dynamic with somebody, so that they push you and you push them, you know, and they want what's best for you, but they want to be better than you.
Yeah. And that's so important in so many just aspects of life. Even as simple as, when I used to do, I was training to do like powerlifting, is I had a buddy of mine that, you know, I worked out with him, he worked out with me, and we always tried to one up each other without hurting each other. But it was very much, you know, when I was doing something, he would tell me like, you know, you got to do five. And then I get to five, he'd be like, you could do two more, you know, like he would just egg me on just a little bit. And that was so important. And you need that in life, just in everything.
So healthy.
Yeah.
So healthy. You know? And if you don't have that, you have to seek that in a coach, and you have to seek that in, you know, you have to seek that somewhere, because it's priceless.
Absolutely. And it's, if you're going to seek it out, make sure you find somebody who's going to not only like push you, but also, you know, after they've pushed you and you've succeeded, or even if you didn't succeed, they're still going to tell you like, man, you did a great job. You know, they're not just going to tell you to do better and then leave it at that. They're going to celebrate those small wins with you. So make sure you find that as well.
They're also going to tell you the truth.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
No, if you're terrible at something and you didn't produce the way that you should have produced, then they need to tell you that in such a manner. And you need to be strong enough to hear that. And you need to realize that it's actually just a temporary failure. And that, you know, this is actually all part of the learning process.
Absolutely. You'll get better. You know, every master was an apprentice at one point.
That's right.
So, yeah. So I'm just going to go back. Folks are just dropping tons of great questions in here, and I'm trying to catch them all, but folks, I'm going to miss them. I'm sorry, but it's going to happen. But, Chuck Knott out of Cape Breton, has a question. He says, have you seen anything across the world? Cause I know you've played, not just in, you know, in the US, but have you seen anything across the world that improves access, given there are definitely barriers to paintball, compared to sports like soccer or baseball, which are a little bit easier for the average Joe to get involved with. So, yeah, have you seen anything across the world that improves access to the sport of paintball? So have you seen in your travels, have you seen, like, you know, the sport of paintball by a lot of people is definitely a first world sport. You know, it's not something that just anybody can pick up and do. You got to have infrastructure behind it. But do you see that changing at all? Like, do you see people getting creative to find ways around it at all? Or
I think there's a lot of bureaucracy in the game and the way that things cost and the way you got to get things. And it's a difficult sport, no doubt, to just even, you know, start one playing, you know, start a field. But I guess kind of the better answer to that question, which might not be what he's looking for, but it's, there's a lot of different mentalities in the world with the different types of individuals in different places. So for instance, like, you know, they play different in Russia than they do in Mexico, and they play different in, you know, California than they do in Canada. Right. So
yeah,
each kind of geographic location produces a type of individual, and that type of individual usually plays a certain type of way. So around the world, there's certain types of, you know, individuals, like, let's just say, like in Japan, like Japan was a really difficult place to play, but man, they played really good and they were very new at it, and they didn't really understand, you know, they never got proper education, they never seen any proper pros really, but the way that their style, the way that they play, the way that they live life shows in the way that they played the game.
So can you, I'm really curious about that, can you expand on it? So what is it, how is it different, like how do they play differently from, say, somebody in the United States?
Well, okay, so like so I do a lot of coaching now for individuals personally. And one of the first questions I ask them is like, how do you play the game? You know, how do you play the game? Maybe I can just ask you, how do you play the game of paintball? Like, what's your style of play? Where do you play? How do you play? Are you aggressive? Are you more about the technique and the mechanics and finesse? You know, like, is your high point communication and teamwork? Do you shoot one lane only? You know, it's like, so now you can kind of understand your style when you start to, you know, dissect that. And so that's individually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably play the same way that you play life, the same way, right? So I don't know how you play the game of paintball.
So I'm just sort of thinking just that statement you just said, playing paintball the same way I play life. And
So like I play life very aggressive. I'm fearless. Like I will give everything away and move out of my house tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's how I play the game of paintball, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's the same way that I play the game of paintball as that I play the game of life. And when you go to certain places in the world, the way they live life, like if you go to, you know, certain places, they're more passionate about certain things. So they're going to play the game more passionately. You know, they're going to be art like Italians. Like imagine how an Italian plays the game. You know, they're going to be playing just like they make pizza, just like they're at the bar or they're at the beach, you know, they're going to be all loud and animated. It's the same way they're going to play the game, right? So in California, why California has been such a successful place for the game of paintball is because California has this type of attitude and it has a type of way of seeing the game and a way of seeing life differently than probably people in Canada, you know, and that's why Californians play the way they play, and maybe that's why they have the success in what they do for the game of paintball, because they play that way. And you know, now it's kind of difficult when you see like an Edmonton Impact, but they have players from all over the world now, you know, who aren't even really Canadian anymore, and their Canadians are playing fearlessly, and their Canadians live life fearlessly, you know, like those kids have traveled the world for the last, you know, 10-15 years. And they're maniacs, you know, and they play the game now like maniacs, and they play really well, you know, and I really actually like all of them as individuals beyond the game of paintball, the way that they live life and the way they've chosen to live life. And I think, again, the next level to that question and to this answer is that you can learn through the game of paintball, just like anything, but since paintball is the topic here, you can learn how to live life more fearlessly or with fearlessness through elevating your game, reaching a high degree of competence within the sport, and then saying, "Oh shit, I can go do this now. You know, I can go live the life I've always wanted. I don't have to live this life that I thought that I had to live."
Right, I can go do this. I can go do whatever I want. I can go make that move. Or
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Or throw caution to the wind if I have to. Or you know,
that's right.
Kind of thing. That's awesome. Do you, Pat McGrath wants to know, do you keep up with paintball at all? Do you still, do you watch the live streams at all, like with NXL, or keep tabs on anything, or is it just sort of behind you now and you're just doing your own thing?
I keep tabs on individuals. Yeah.
Yeah.
I resonate a lot with certain types of players, especially players who I see that are reaching new heights of themselves, and I follow them on Instagram, and I see what they're posting, and I see what they're about, and they're shifting, they're changing, they're maturing. So I have a lot of communication with individuals. I don't really watch the podcast or the games at all. No, I haven't watched them at all actually, but I usually call somebody and say, "Hey, how did it go? What happened? What was the scenario?" And we break it down,
Sure.
more over the phone.
Gotcha. It's like I got a buddy in the comments right now keeping tabs on the World Juniors hockey game for me. I don't have to watch it. I've got a friend who I can rely on to give me all the info I need. That's cool. That's great, man. It's nice to hear that you're still, you got some connections in the world in paintball, still keeping tabs a little bit. And I'm just quickly double checking comments, but I don't think, the current format. Jason Moore Miller, is the current format the future of the sport, and what's your preferred format of play? So what do you think of the current format? Let's say NXL format, because I don't want to get into the weeds too much, because every person in this comments thread right here is going to have their own idea of what the sport is. But let's just say World Cup that just went by, what did you think of it? Do you think it's the way to go, or do you not have an opinion at all? I mean, that's fine too.
No, I think it's really important, actually. I believe in the NXL, and I believe in the product they have, and I believe that it's a good product, and I believe that it's a good format, and I believe that there's a lot of value to it, and I think that they've done a pretty good job in the last couple of years, even since before when I was playing, they were doing a pretty good job. Do I think it's the format for everybody? No. I think it maybe could be the format for the pros. But again, there's a lot of slight things that I just totally cannot stand. And one is like the way that they build fields, the shapes of the bunkers that they build. Like, to be honest, I look at the field layout when it comes up on, one of these Instagram things, and I go like, it's not even paintball. You can't understand what's going on. And a good player, like I started to kind of hate playing these fields because they didn't make me any better than the next kid that plays on the other side, who's a pro player now, because there was no more theory. It was just a blob of mess of bunkers and a wall, and I couldn't see anything, and I didn't know what's going on. So if you want to be a good pro player, one of the main things that makes you really excellent is your awareness and your ability to understand the field. When you throw, like a bunch of bunkers onto the map and it doesn't really make any sense and they're all gigantic and I can't even see you and I can't even see the way the field's being played out, then it just takes away my full ability and my full capability as a more advanced player. So it actually brings down the level of the game. You understand? And
sure.
I speak to this with a lot of other pro players who actually look at themselves as very theoretic, like theory based players, and they can't read the field anymore, and it takes away from their power and it takes away their expertise in a sense. So to kind of answer that, I think there's some good points in it, and I think there's some really bad points.
Sure.
And I don't think it's a universally sound system for everybody to be playing. I think it's too expensive. I think it's too big. I think it's too grandiose for the pros, maybe. But then again, you know, now they just throw anybody into the pros and they say, you're pro. So there's like five pro teams that are probably really good. And then there's probably like five pro teams that are pretty piss poor. And really, it's not that exciting anymore to watch the setup because, well, maybe one of these bad teams will beat a dynasty every once in a while, but it's still pretty boring.
No, you make a good point. There's five teams that it's always a toss-up between those five teams of who's going to win. It's not, you know, you're not looking at the whole roster and trying to think, oh, well, maybe this is the year this team will finally make it. But it's usually, you know, one of the five top teams are going to beat one of the other five top teams, and that's who's going to win.
Which is okay in a sense.
It is.
I think the best teams should always win, but I'm thinking about like the way that I see this is like the progression of the future of the game. You need feeding systems. You need people, you need things for people to work up towards. You can't just throw them into the pros and say, okay, here you go. You're pro. Good luck. It's like there needs to be a process, and we've never figured out that process for a long time.
Yeah. Do you think the current, like, is it just that there's too many bunkers on the fields, or that they're too small, or is it a combination of everything, like a couple of different factors for that? Because you mentioned it looks like a blob, and you're right. From the top down, it kind of, you look at the layout, and it's like, okay, from the top down, it looks okay. But then you realize, you know, when you're on the ground, you're looking at the layout. You're right. It's a wall. There's a couple of lanes that everybody's going to play those lanes. And you know, you, but for the most part, it's a wall. It's just a pile of bunkers on the field. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think the question is more importantly, like, how do players let this happen anymore? You know, it's like, there needs to be a protest, and more players need to step up into actually building fields themselves and learning. There's a whole art to building fields. There's a whole, you know, if you want to be really good at this sport also, you need to learn how to build fields. You need to be the first one at the field every weekend building the field. And sometimes you need to build the field to specify what you need to work on, right? So, like, I would get to the fields and I would build the fields for me so that I could learn how to play better. Most people just show up, walk up, there's a shit field layout, too many bunkers, too many giant bunkers, and they deal with it.
There's some pretty big bunkers now.
I would the first thing I would do if I stepped on the paintball field again is I would look at the field and I would probably take down 4 to 5 bunkers and deflate them and move them off the field, because you just can't play a good game of paintball with this type of, it's just an eyesore, you know?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think especially with the big bunkers, they're huge. There's a ton of them, and they're absolutely massive. And you watch one player try to hold this bunker that it really does take almost three people to properly use this bunker. But you know, that's just not going to happen. So, and I wanted to ask about, cause you've, mentioned DEF CON as a field a couple of times. You played for the DEF CON CXBL pro team, right? Like, that was, I mean, it's a little while back. But do you remember, like, what was that like playing for a CXBL team, the DEF CON CXBL team?
Well, it was fun because it was back in the day and it was like 15 balls a second, full auto. It was pretty insane. It was
the Wild West.
It was a little bit of Wild West. And I like that. And you know, I don't think we did so well. I think we maybe won a couple matches, but it was fun. I mean, you know, it was paintball with a bunch of Canadians, and you know, we kind of got together and tried to make something happen, but we didn't really put the effort in that is what's needed to win, you know. And with a short amount of time, you can't do so much, you know. I think we did pretty good for what we did with the amount of time, but I mean, this stuff takes time, you know. It's just like, it takes practice. It takes getting to know each other. It takes building that trust again. It takes a lot of effort, you know? And I think that's one thing that a lot of people disregard is how much effort it takes to become good at something. And
okay,
but it was fun.
And just for anyone who isn't aware, it was the Scarborough Hustle is the team.
Yeah.
And
which was a cool name.
Yeah, it's a great name. It's a great Scarborough Hustle. Come on. It just sounds aggressive.
Okay.
Right? That's awesome. And I just wanted to touch, because we've only got a couple of minutes left, you know, 10, 15 minutes left, but I just wanted to get an idea of what it was like. Because you played for the Ironmen, but you also played for Dynasty. You kind of went back and forth a couple times. But was there any big difference between the two teams? Like, did you find, like, playing with Ironmen versus playing with Dynasty, was there a really different dynamic? Or were they both just really well put together, you know, professional teams full of good guys? Like, was there, or were they very different? Like, did each team have its own personality?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely had its own personality. And I think the second time when I went back to the Ironman, it was more to, like, build into the groom, the team that I always kind of wanted to build and, like, have that experience of building a team with getting, you know, amazing players and having the financial backing to make that happen. So that team was, like, probably exceptionally the best team probably that's ever played the sport, that Ironman team, in terms of the type of caliber of individual and the team unit that we had, and the across the board, like, what's the word, across the board, like, commonality, you know, like, nobody was, I was probably, yeah, sure, one of the higher pillars on the team, but, like, mm-hmm. we were all so even, and it was also, like, harmonious. On Dynasty is different, you know, because Alex and Ryan have been on the team for so long, and some of us have come and gone, and there's been so many players. It's like you kind of got to listen to them, and you kind of got to do what they got to do, and then I throw the wrench in the gear and mess it all up, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes
I was gonna say, yeah, you know, sometimes a little bit of a mess isn't a bad thing. Sorry, I'm getting grilled in the comment here by Kevin Curry. I think maybe I said Destiny by mistake instead of Dynasty. I don't know. I think I messed up the name because he's
both nice names.
Right, they're both great names. I don't know. He just said, "What the hell?" Is Dynasty spelled out really long? So I must have mispronounced it. My bad.
I didn't catch it.
Neither did I. So I don't know. And My wonderful wife, in the comments, she says she thinks she's going crazy, but she keeps hearing a rooster. But I'm quite positive. There is actually a rooster in the background. I'm guessing it's outside somewhere. And it is morning,
yeah,
where you are.
There's roosters all over the place, and they don't ever stop. So it's a myth that there's a rooster crows only in the morning. They crow at all times of the night. So just...
Oh, God. How do you sleep, man? How do you sleep?
You start to just enjoy it.
Oh, okay. You just get used to it. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Now,
it's not bad.
With the two teams, with Ironman and Dynasty, I'm going to enunciate that from now on to keep Kevin happy. What was it like being asked to, like, actually switch teams? Because you were asked to go play for Ironman. So what was that like? Was that kind of like a surreal moment, or was it more like a professional, like almost like a job offer where you're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. Let's go to work.
Yeah. Well, I think that just like anything, you know, when you're doing something for a long time, well, at least for me, I start to think, okay, what's next and what is the next evolution of this? And so on Dynasty, after just having those sweep of years, I think it was like 4 or 5 years, we just swept. I was like, okay, well, this is cool, but you know, we needed the next challenge. And so that's when the Ironman was proposed, and it was a job, and it was like a come rebuild, come make the Ironman good, which in my heart has always been important, because the Ironman have been close to me in a sense. Like, I used to watch them at the Mare Island. And also at that point, people were telling me, hey man, you know, you're the best at this sport. And I was like, well, okay, if I'm the best, then I need to prove this not only to myself, but to everybody else. So that was my trial and trial and success was to go to the Ironman to rebuild the team. Because a lot of, if you look at the history of a lot of teams, like look at the Russians and look how they do things, they all move together. You know, they're all like, it's like you pick up the Russians, instantly your team's amazing. And but it's really just the Russians. It's really the same core Russian guys. And so, yeah, if Ironman had taken me, Alex, Ryan, and Yosh onto Ironman, it would have been just kind of Dynasty on Ironman, and we would have done great also. And plus, Dynasty would have died. So the next test was to just take me and for me to create this arsenal of an amazing cast of individuals and teammates on Ironman and handpick people from different teams, not necessarily even being the best players, but just handpicking them. And then, so that was like the next test, yeah, for me. And there was success.
So it was, you needed a challenge, not, you know, not that you didn't want to play with Dynasty anymore, but you were looking for that next challenge, which.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably at that point I didn't want to play with Dynasty, but I wanted to test myself. Yes.
That's awesome. I respect that 100%. I totally understand that. Cause if anybody listening to this hasn't done it before, if you're ever thinking like, if you realize you're just complacent in your job, like I highly recommend take the risk. I did it. I don't regret it. I quit a corporate job to go work for a small craft brewery. Like it was
nice.
Yeah. Awesome. It was awesome.
And once you do that a couple times, you start to become very, bulletproof, and then,
yeah.
And then actually you become even to such a degree of, invincibility that even if it is an absolute, the worst choice and the worst decision you ever made, and it was an absolute failure, that it still isn't because you didn't, you know, you realized that you needed to make that decision also in that choice.
Yeah. You you make the decision. If it was a bad one, learn from it and make another decision. So I wanted to close it up with, you know, just maybe see if you can give a little bit of advice. So there's a couple of people in the comments that are very new to the tournament side of paintball, to the speedball side of paintball. You know, like, is there any, do you have any words of wisdom? I'm sure you have words of wisdom, but what are they for those who are looking maybe to get into the tournament scene? I'm not talking pro level, but maybe they want to compete. Maybe they want to, you know, keep their head above water on a speedball field. Mm-hmm. So what do you got for them?
Well, a couple different things are just coming through with that question. But one of them is I think everybody who is part of the paintball community needs to realize that they're all on the same team and that they need each other, and that to not fight against each other and not to try to take each other down. It's like really important and vital that you guys realize you're all on the same team. And that if you want growth and success in the sport of paintball, you need each other. That's like, you can't do it alone. It's impossible. I couldn't build the field, get the air, get the paint, and play by myself and make it to where I did today, you know? So you need each other. You're all very valuable to each other. So anybody who's just beginning the sport, you know, like build a community. You know, start to go to the fields that are supporting you, the DEF CONs, and, you know, make a club, you know, build a support structure. And I think one of the most valuable things you could do is kind of what DEF CON did, is they invited me out there, you know, and I was able to bring a little bit of the Western style, California style of play to Canada and, you know, kind of sprinkle a little bit of the seeds of knowledge there to within the game. So I would say, you know, get somebody out there, get a Marcelo, get a Ryan Greenspan, get somebody that really knows what they're doing and listen and learn. And it's not all about always about playing 5-on-5. It's not about playing, you know, on the tournament fields. It's just about playing. It's about having that time spent holding your gun, being at the field, having the discussions, talking about the successes, talking about the failures, and really drilling. You know, if you want to really get good at this game, you should don't even play for 1 year and just literally go to the field and drill and drill and drill and drill and drill and keep drilling, and then
drill some more,
maybe play some one-on-ones. you know?
Yeah.
And in a small amount of time, you're gonna escalate your whole skills, the way that you hold the gun, your whole demeanor, your confidence is going to raise. And at that point, you're going to be able to play on any of the local teams that are there, any of them, whichever one you want to play on, you can choose. Instead of this kind of the energy that I see a lot of people do is they sit around the field, they never get a game, they never play, and then they're just trying to get onto a team to try to get onto a team to say that they're onto a team. And then that team still doesn't even really do anything or really go anywhere, even if you get on that team. It's like, we never did that. We drilled and we played and we played and we played and played, and then we just made our team. And then our team was good. And that took us a year, you know? And then once we've solidified a team, then other teams say, oh man, that kid's good. We should get him on our team. And then that's how the system grows.
Wow.
And then your team disbands and you go on to a higher level team.
Yeah, that's great advice. Drill, practice. It's not just playing every weekend. It's practicing and playing. And
it's playing every weekend. It's showing up is half the battle, as GHO would say. Show up. Don't waste time. You know, be the first one there at the field. Build the field. You know, rake the field. Help the owners fill up tanks. You know, like, be the guiding force why everybody wants to show up at the field early, and don't waste time. Don't bullshit. Don't sit there for hours and talking in the back of your car, smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee. It's like, no, get your gear on and get out there and play. And we always had a joke, and it's like, we don't leave until the sun goes down, you know. And that's why we got really.
I like that rule. Mm-hmm. I like that rule, especially because in the summer, that's what, 12 hours. 12 hours of sunshine in California.
Like, yeah, I mean, we left before the sun went down, but that was always the saying.
Yeah. No, that's great advice, especially the, you know, show up early. Don't just be a bump on a log. Help out. You know, that's really great advice.
I have an online free course, and it's called The Dynamics of Practice, and it's on my Instagram if you go on the link up the bio. And it's like a 24 video set, and it just kind of explains to you the things that I did on and why it's important to do that. And it's free. And all you got to do is enter your email in, and it just takes you through a bunch of different videos. Some are more meaningful than others, and gives you a little bit of insight on kind of actually what you need to be doing on every weekend when you show up.
Awesome. That's everybody watching this needs to go do that right now. Needs to go to, you said it's on your Instagram. The link is in the bio. Drop your email in and get some super helpful videos. One last question. And this one's coming from a Corey Codger. Hopefully I'm not butchering that name, but will you ever come back to paintball? He says in the United States.
Yeah, I think there's a return coming, but I don't know if it's going to be in this format with the way that it is now. You know, I might have to build my own thing and do it all the way that I see it and I envision it. And yeah, I start to see something like that happening. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but also, you know, America's not the place to be at the moment for me. So it might take a couple more years, but we'll see what evolves.
Come to Canada.
There you go.
We're close. No, we're not. What do you think of the mechanical side of things starting to really come back? Like, it's almost like paintball's going back to its roots. We're seeing a lot more mechanical. We're seeing a lot of 10-man. You know,
it's cool. Think it's good that people are just playing. Again, it's not about the gun. It's not about the amount. It's not about the 10-man. It's not about the 5-man. It's about the field. You know, to be honest, probably 98% of the fields out there in the world have terrible fields, and they built their fields from the steam of their pants, and they didn't even understand the construct of why they're building the fields. And, you know, they spent a bunch of money on a bunch of bunkers that are totally unplayable and not necessary. It's like, if you go back into the day of the innocence of the game, fields were built really well, and they were built by the players who were playing them. Like I said, that Brad guy, he would build the fields and he would play them.
Right.
So it's not about the gun. It's not about the amount of people on each other. It's about the field. You know, people need to learn the art of the field, and whether you're playing with an autococker or you're playing with a F1, this is going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. But I like the notion, and I think that there's some sort of, you can tell that people want something a little bit different just by going back into that kind of sphere. But it's all about the fields, you know. If more people figured out how to build quality fields, then I think the sport would do better.
There we go. Garner in the comments, or Garner from DEF CON, is saying a clinic in Canada for sure. Bring the rooster. He wants you to bring the rooster. and then, of course, Josh Gashlum from Maghill Paintball is saying eat lobster, play at Maghill.
Nice. Well, so Garner always treated me like a little king. We'd always go eat feasts. We'd always go to sushi, and he always took really, really good care of me. So he really opened me up to Canada and his father and his family. It was really nice to always come. And
Garner's good people.
Good people, man.
Yeah, Garner is good people.
And so, yeah, I would say everybody get out there, support people like Garner. You know, this is his baby. You know, paintball in that part of the world, and you know, he needs you, and you need him. I would discuss, you know, how you can help him and how you can show up for him so that you can make DEF CON bigger, better, greater, better fields, have better, bigger communities there. You know, what's the next thing? Is it a social club? Is it once a week, you know, practice day that you guys all show up to do? You know, how can you help each other? And, you know, I leave it up to you guys to decide that, but you guys, everybody should get with their local field owner and have a discussion with them. And the field owner should say, "Here, let me buy you some lobster. How can I make this field better? How can I make this sport grow? You know, what do you guys need from me? And let me do that for you, you know?" And
absolutely.
If we have a little bit of that communication with the field owners and the players, I bet we'd have a lot better, healthier of a business.
100%. 100%. And speaking of which, like, big, big thank you. Like, Garner is good people. Garner's a great guy. And I want to say that, you know, a big, big thank you, because from Garner and DEF CON Paintball, as well as DEF CON PaintballGear.com, the website, is pretty much the reason why this episode is happening. Garner's the one who put me in touch with Ollie here, and so I am now forever in Garner's debt for this. So, you know, please go support Garner, support DEF CON, either by playing when things go back to whatever the new normal will be, but also, you know, just support him. Just if you need some new paintball gear, go over to DEFCONPaintballGear.com, because that's a really easy way to support him. You know, if you're going to buy some gear, don't buy from Amazon, buy from DEF CON.
And support this webcast or this podcast, you know, this is also what's really needed, is to get communication across to people and let the people hear and listen. And, you know, I hope that people listen to this podcast and listen to it once, twice, three times over. And then I hope people can come to you and say, "Hey, look, this is how I think the show can be better." And you have to have the ability and the ears and the open heart to say, "Okay, I can do that. I can make this better."
Absolutely.
What do we want to talk about? What's a better structure? What's a better formula? You know, and everybody should be sharing this and sharing, you know, their views on it, and just going deeper into it.
No, 100%. And that being said, if anybody's watching this and goes, "Nah, you could do this better," let me know. Like, I'm not afraid of criticisms. So please, it truly helps me grow as a person and as a podcast host. So thank you so much.
Just get rid of the rooster.
You know what? I'm okay with the rooster. It keeps me, you know, it keeps me on time, I think, somehow. I'm not sure how that works. So, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was ridiculous. Like, when Garner was like, "Yeah, man, we're going to make this happen," I was just like, "Awesome. I'm terrified." Like, it was, you know, so thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming on to this show. I don't have the words to express how much I appreciate it. That's the problem. Beautiful. So
that's enough, man. That's enough. As long as we can just keep growing the sport and keep helping each other. And, you know, I feel like my part hasn't even really started within the industry. That's just my own feeling. So, you know, as much as I can help sprinkle some positive information and inspiration to all the players that are up and coming, that's enough.
Awesome, man. So thank you so much. Folks, go check out what's your Instagram? It's
Oliver White Cloud.
Oliver White Cloud, and you know, go get better at paintball by watching these 24 videos that will absolutely help you, and maybe it'll help you in life too. Somehow you'll translate it to real life and you'll get better there too. And go help out DEF CON. Go support DEF CON. So thank you again so much. And for everyone who's hung out typing in the comments and messaging me and watching and sharing this, again, thank you so much. It's a huge, huge help. You guys really don't understand how much it helps when you guys share this stuff. So, but that's it. We're out of here. And this will be up for streaming. You can watch or listen to this on your favorite podcast app. Well, you should be listening to it now if it's on a podcast app, but you guys can check it out like tomorrow. It'll be up tomorrow. So, and that's it. We're out of here. So thanks again.
Peace.
Cheers.